whip up those fryers, because I am sure hungry for one.
Greg Hill Show.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
It's
your cool hill man.
The Greg Hill Show.
We're up and out of Greg, don't worry about that.
Tick, tick, boom.
Starring the biggest foodie on the planet.
To me, food is the most important thing.
White bread is succulent.
Greg Hill.
Well, who doesn't like an extra 40 minutes of sleep eye? If you don't like. Is that what they call it? Sleep eye? Close eye? Curtis, what do they call it? Sleep eye? Close eye?
That would be shut eye.
With shut eye.
Shut eye.
Featuring the parlay playboy himself.
This tickles my fanny. Does that math make math? I did not know that.
Wiggy.
The rest of us will be here doing some kind of draft party with the listeners.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be here. I mean, it's like, can we just, I might start taking, spring book don't matter, I guess.
Joined by Boston's number one linguist.
Criminal mischief and arson have become this kind of tangent. Pete Buttigieg.
Courtney Cox.
And those ankle rolls, like, they're so common. You brought
yeah,
up Kevin.
Yeah, but they're
pesty. You brought up Kevin Durant. I mean, it's like, you know, he had happened.
Is it pesky?
Yes.
What did you say?
It's pesky.
As soon as I said it could have been pesky.
And accompanied by two big brains behind the glass.
Go put salmonella with your yams.
I'm on Shime Island.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
You are both morons.
Curtis and Shime.
Oh, there goes the alarm again.
They say that your parents age overnight. I think we're experiencing that.
Now.
Let's get down to business.
It's time to party.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Good morning, my neighbor.
On Boston Sports Original.
W-E-E-I. Got my people.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Greg Hill. Show. All right.
Woo! It's go, 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 go time.
Let the games begin.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Tick, tick, boom.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What up?
What it do? I'll tell you what's up. It hits different when you're here for this part of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bright and early.
And you look spry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't know what, I mean, I was up all night with alarm anxiety.
Okay.
So, and it was clear. I figured it out, by the way, Curtis. I got effed by the update.
Oh, you don't say.
It's completely the update.
All right.
Because when I was trying to set my alarm last night, that there was that nagging no alarm set phrasing that appeared out of nowhere suddenly.
Yes.
And so I went, you know, opened that up, and there's some whole new button that I have to push the alarm on. And do you want your sleep cycle set? Do you want an everyday alarm? So I don't know what update I'm on. I think I'm on update iOS 7.
Yeah.
I obviously some things changed overnight, and somehow I went in. That's why I never do the updates. Never.
Mm. Right.
They F you with the updates.
They really
just
do.
Remember that. Words to live by.
I'm just happy you're here. You look great.
They just completely F you with the updates. But we got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Ralphie is off the schneid.
He is.
Thank God.
Rafael Devers with RBI double last night for the Boston Red Sox. And Garrett Crochet went 8 last night, Curtis. First time he's done that since college.
Yeah, so. I got to tell you, it is a whole different experience when you have an ace.
Right.
And it's similar to an elite quarterback. Not as important. I mean, you don't get to play every game, but God, that was a big one last night, because now you win today, you come home, you split the two series on the road, and everybody forgets about the debacle in Texas.
Right back in the mix.
The last legit one here, would you call Chris Sale a legit ace?
No.
No, okay.
You have to do it here for a period.
David Price?
No, I would really say Lester.
Really?
Yeah.
That far back.
Because David Price had ace-like moments.
Yes.
But you need, like, for me, when I grew up, it was Clemens every fifth day. You knew you had him on the mound. Then it was Pedro. Then it was Beckett. Schilling briefly in between. And then it was Lester. And then we kind of didn't have
him. Right. Your best pitcher, like, consistent pitcher going back, every 5 days was probably Evalde, right? And you wouldn't put him in an ace category. Curtis is right. David Price, yeah, especially in that World Series year, he had ace-like moments. But, you know, you haven't seen this. It's been a long, long time since you've seen, like, all right, this guy we know is legit.
Yeah. All right, well, win for the Red Sox. Loss for the Boston Celtics last night, which I no longer say anything about the Celtics is alarming.
No.
Especially not this time of the season.
And after a long road trip like that,
yeah, I mean, they won, what, 9 straight?
Yeah.
I mean, they were 14-1 or whatever in March, so tough to panic about.
Well, Coach Spo, that guy can coach a roster.
I knew you were going to do that, Curtis. I knew it. I was waiting.
They're battling for the
edge of my seat.
They're battling for the play-in round.
Won 6 games in a row with no talent. I don't know how they do it.
Celtics have won 9 in a row.
If you flip the coaches, I think they'd have a better record.
He really has nobody on that basketball team.
You don't like Bam Adebayo? Tyler Herro?
You have to give him some credit.
I give him a little bit of credit. Yeah, they still stink, though. They're not going anywhere.
I don't know if you were watching any of the game last night, but it must have been a little bit awkward because I noted that the new future owner of the Boston Celtics, Billy Chisholm, was there with his wife, seated on the left of Wick Grosbeck and his wife, and seated on the right of Wick Grosbeck was Pags. So I don't know how awkward that was last night, but maybe somebody went and got some popcorn or some dogs or something like that, and everything is A-okay between them all.
The only thing that would have made that better is if Pags was seated in his normal seats that Wick had given to Chisholm and did the, wait, I think I'm in seat 5. Look at Pags just staring down at his phone on Twitch. God, is that awkward.
It's an unfortunate situation, but, you know.
Money talks.
Pags probably throughout the night was probably saying the same thing he said in his statement, which is, hey, if this doesn't work out, if you two break up, then I'm right here and ready to step in. So
he's probably thinking to myself, ooh, at least I don't have to make a huge decision in a year and a half.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on this morning show, including our leads in about 10 minutes. They said it at 7. That is a quick back and forth on everything they said yesterday. And we will definitely discuss what Christian Campbell said yesterday about suddenly owing the Commonwealth a little bit of cash to cover the millionaire's tax. We'll hear from Wiggy's guy, Ralphie Devers, also during They Said It at around 7 or whenever we're done with the leads, because it is rarely at 7. And then the news at 7:45 with Courtney, and that includes how creepy is it and why a mayor resigned over the video that he sent to the city attorney, among other things. When is your Mach 3.0 dropping this morning, Shime?
Greg, it is officially live on WEEI.com. Ooh. I'm actually in the process of tweeting it out right this very moment, so you can click the link right from my Twitter.
Okay,
that'll be my lead this morning as well, so I'm excited to share with you the new mock draft.
Ooh, okay. I like it. Right. Patriots, can I say it? Patriots at 4, take Trapillo from BC.
I mean, that's
ballsy.
A little early, but
bold prediction on your part.
Oh, yeah, you know.
I mean, if it pays off, that could vault you into the mock draft stratosphere.
I am nothing but the Boston College propaganda guy Bill O'Brien.
I feel, Curtis, when you said that, I feel like Mel Kiper just jumped out of his seat, spilled his coffee, and wants to go and see who Shime has the Patriots.
Choked on his pumpkin pie.
Yeah, I actually got a couple calls from Bristol for my time down there. They're like, Mel's waiting for Shime.
All right.
I can't wait, Shime.
We'll get to Shime's third attempt at a mock. Will this be the last one before April 24th?
No, Greg, it won't be. There will be one more. 4.0, the final ultimate mock, the one that gets graded, the one that counts, will be released 3 days prior to the draft.
They all certainly count.
This is the trickery in the whole thing, is that you mock draft experts release 4 or 5 of them. then you can go back afterwards and say, actually, I had this in my mock 2.0.
Nope, and I did that last year. I held myself accountable. I didn't worry about what was in mock draft 1.0, because if I did, I would have been right when Curtis called me an idiot for saying the Broncos were going to draft Bo Nix. But I didn't count that. That doesn't count. But I only counted 2.0 there.
If I could just get this on the table, sure. Greg. So last year, Scheim had two elements of his draft. It was not uniform. He said, this is what I would do. And then he said, I did this because this is what I thought they would do.
That's correct.
So we need to have it be, this is what you expect to happen based on what you think the team will do, not what you would do, right?
Yep. Yeah, mock draft 4.0 will be entirely, actually, every mock draft I've put out this year is entirely what I believe they will do, not what I would do.
Good.
Doesn't the mock get watered down, though, when you have so many?
Yes.
No, because you get new information.
No, because then you're just looking at other people's mocks, and you're all just like,
whoa. That is a bold accusation.
Yeah. Nope, my mock is very unique. You'll actually notice in the first couple picks, it's very different.
Are you calling your, I would argue, your best friend here at work a mock snake?
I'm just saying that if I actually think about it, what is Scheim's not traveling to pro days.
That's
so, I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he is. But I do not believe you're traveling to pro days. So what new information are you getting besides looking at other people's mock drafts?
So over time, Courtney, I'm able to watch more tape on more players. So I gather my own personal information and analysis on certain players as time goes on. Mm-hmm. Also, the rumor mill swirls. You hear from guys like Adam Schefter, Peter Schrager, Ian Rappaport, all those guys with information about where teams are leaning, who's visiting what teams, and that information gets played in. And then you see the combine results
kind
and free agency. And so, yeah.
Do you watch all of the tape from the same chair that you game in?
Yes, actually, I do. A lot of it. Sometimes from the couch. I like to mix it up just a little bit.
Okay.
All right. Excellent. Well, we have that to look forward to when it comes to leads. And it is a Bruins Thursday. That means Mike Milbury will join us at 9 on this morning's show.
What else is there to ask him? It's like this team is this team.
Well, yeah.
It's,
I mean, honestly, if you want to look at a positive, I think if the season were to end today, they would pick number 5, the Boston Bruins.
Okay.
And they vaulted themselves by losing. They have vaulted themselves all the way up from 14 or 15 to picking number 5 in the draft. Well, so,
and to be fair, even when there are things to talk about, he talks about random stuff.
I do love that. That's my favorite part.
Yes. Yeah, so I feel like he will lead. You want to predict what Mike Milbury leads with?
I think it has to do with the Rose Garden yesterday.
It's going to be tariffs. Yeah. He will lead with Liberation Day yesterday.
Milbury unfiltered.
I would assume. Mike Milbury at 9. All right. And then we will get to your Hill Notes at about 9:20 this morning. I was asked yesterday by a listener of this show hold on a minute. I want to, I have it in my notes. I want to thank them, but about an emergency top 5 of best Hill Note creators.
Okay.
Do you have anybody on your list? I have to add a late addition, and that is Jackson. Hill Note guy from yesterday. Mm. I thought he nailed the Jackson voice and lifestyle.
Yeah, Trump is up there.
The guy who does today on this episode of the Greg Hill Show, he's good.
I thought you loved Kaká.
I do love Kaká. Kaká's up
Kaká
there.
But Kaká could be anybody. I feel like other people are adding Kakás.
That's a good point.
For guffaws.
APD got to be up there.
His music choice. Yes. His music choice is really good.
I don't think Angry Principal Dave is not a top 5 Hill Note.
He's like the innovator of the music, right?
He does the same. No, he started adding music, yes, but he does the same approach. I mean, sometimes he gets creative.
Well, his music ties into his Hill Note message, so. Mm-hmm. Generally, that works sometime.
Yeah.
But yeah, my boy Kaká is out there somewhere. Yeah. I don't know where the hawk is.
All right. Well, you can leave a voice note for us at any time on any topic, and you can do it on the Odyssey app. It is that simple. So hopefully you have downloaded the app, which would mean that you could listen to us wherever you are, anywhere in the world, this morning and any morning, and at any time of the day or night. And that's Odyssey, AUDACY. To download the app and to leave a Hill Note. And you'll see a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And just speak your piece. Yes, Curtis.
Two brief pieces of news. One, Rafferty is pending adoption. Got that word last night.
Oh, amazing.
Excellent.
And the other is the office of Senator Keenan sent me a nice note saying they really enjoyed the spot.
Really?
Yeah. He said that it's not often that we get to disagree or do these conversations. So I thought that in today's world of polarization, I thought it was a nice note from the office of the senator.
Bottom, though, of the note, it said, odds are we will not be back on the show again, I think. True. Is that what it said?
We can wait to do it, but I was at Southie Bowl, as I'm wont to do with the James Band, and I noted that Keno was on because it was inescapable. I found it to be rather intrusive. And I said, hey, miss behind the bar, may I have a look at this Keno card? And Mitch has it, and the entirety of the senator's attack relating to sports betting versus mass lottery was that it was predacious. It was predatory.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the middle of that, this is the Keno slip. If you bet 50 games or more of Keno, you save 10%.
All right.
Now, call me crazy, but the average Joe that's, you know, playing a little bowling with the kiddos is going to play two or three. The guy that sits there his entire lunch break is going to bet 50 to 60, and he is incentivized to do so. Wow.
Did you feel an uncontrollable urge to play Keno when you saw the Keno on the television screen, Curtis, or were you able to avoid it?
We did play Keno. I lost $8.
I don't know how to play.
I didn't either.
It's so much fun. I love
Keno. Pick four numbers or two numbers or three numbers.
And then those numbers pop up on the screen. And you win.
It's fun for like 10 minutes. Like, I don't get the people who sit there for hours and hours and hours.
Those are the diehards. They got their special numbers. You look on the back and you say, okay, based on if I get three right, how much do I end? If I get four right, my grandmother was big into Keno.
Like the people standing outside the convenience store watching the TV through the window?
That is it. They want to play five games. Curtis, like you said, save the 10%. They'll go all day long, Courtney. Wait for that one lick. If you can get all 12 numbers for a buck, I believe that's like $1 million.
Ooh.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to on today's show. If Shyam sounds especially excited this morning, it is because it is National Burrito Day.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Love a good burrito.
What's the best type of burrito? I would guess breakfast.
What?
No.
Breakfast burrito, I think, is the best burrito out there. What? I'm sorry.
No.
Breakfast
it
burrito?
Is. It is.
That is the worst take.
It's really not.
The worst take you've had, and that's saying a lot.
It's really not. You can't screw up a breakfast burrito. That's why they're always so good.
It's not a burrito.
It is. It most certainly is.
It really is not.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a burrito. No, she's right in that regard.
No, it's bacon, egg, and cheese wrapped in a...
Well, sometimes there's like
you can stick home fries in there. You can stick peppers and onions in there.
It is a bacon, egg, and cheese just on a different type of bread.
Wrongo.
I'm with you.
It doesn't have to be bacon.
You can't put no rice in there. You can't put
you
no
can.
Beans.
No. You
Who
can
wants
put rice,
rice
in
and
there?
Eggs?
What, many.
Beans really? And eggs.
Does it invite guacamole?
No. Not early on the morning.
No. A burrito invites guacamole.
Can't put sour cream on that thing.
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah, you can.
No way you can put sour cream on a bacon, egg, and cheese.
You can put sour cream on whatever you want. And it's not a bacon, egg, and cheese. I mean, there is sometimes bacon in it. There is sometimes...
Okay, so ham, egg, and cheese.
Whatever you want. It's the best.
To Courtney's credit, this is definitely a burrito. It's not the best kind of burrito, but it's definitely a burrito.
She said it's the best kind of burrito, too.
Right, it is.
I mean, as a whole... I mean, the best kind of burrito is chicken, rice, salsa... Queso.
Ooh, I love
sour
queso.
Cream.
Missionary.
A lot of sour cream in Greg's case.
I love the veggies.
That is not missionary.
I mean, you made it seem like, the best one, chicken, rice?
Yeah, that's the go-to.
Yeah, but there's only a few proteins you can go to.
I mean, you can go with carnitas, you can go with steak, you can go with chicken.
Yeah, you can go with the spicy chicken. Yeah,
well, don't get her started on carnitas, please. We had an incident with that recently.
Well, I was thinking of Karen Reed. it all carnitas. Blended together.
That may have been the best Hill note when they said, is that pork that's really judgmental?
Pork carinitas?
You put home fries in your breakfast burrito?
Yeah.
All right.
Avocado, so maybe not full guac, but know, a form.
No.
Oh.
There is nothing better than on this show when one of us says something that we think to be normal, it's usually me, that is not at all, and it's just uniform backlash.
Correct. I also know when I'm about to say it that people are going to hate it.
Well, that's why.
Just fuels the fire. But I know, but that's pesky. I stand by it. Yeah, that's
why. Brutal burrito take, babe.
All right. Well, let's get going this morning with Courtney and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the Health Connector for Business. The Miami Heat ruined the Celtics' winning streak, 124-103, the final at the TD Garden. Jaylen Brown led the guys with 24 points. This was the first win the Heat had over the Seas this year. The other three matchups, the Seas held them to 91 points or less. The Red Sox shut out the Orioles 3-0 was the final in Baltimore, and Rafi Devers snapped his 0-21 streak. He had two hits, an RBI at his four at-bats, and Garrett Crochet went eight innings, giving up zero runs on four hits while striking out eight.
And the fellas are home tomorrow.
Correct.
Home opener at Fenway Park, 2:10 first pitch tomorrow. I cannot wait to be there and to watch Ralphie wrap one around the pesty pole.
Yeah, but they're pesty.
Right.
Come on.
I can't wait for that.
You know what? You guys aren't going to get me today. I did an oxygen chamber yesterday. All right. My mind, clear.
All right.
Yeah.
There you go.
No brain fog.
Okay, LeBron James.
Yes.
You did an oxygen chamber?
Yeah, new place in the seaport. Wow. Remedy.
What did that say?
I'm telling
you.
Oh, that set her back a pretty penny.
Well, it wasn't. It was just, it's good for you. Yeah. And I'm telling you. I am telling you. I walked out of there. I feel so much smarter.
Really?
Yeah. I deal with brain fog, as you all know.
Yes.
And I feel clear.
Yeah. What? You have suffered from long brain fog on this show, meaning the entire time you've been here.
Yeah. Like long COVID, But no more.
Okay.
So just needed some more oxygen in your life.
Yeah. A matinee game for the Sox and Orioles. 105 first pitch with Tanner Houck getting the start opposing Charlie Morton. You can listen to the game right here on EEI. Will Middlebrooks joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. You could kick things off with Joe Weil at 105 for the MassMutual pregame show. The Bruins back in action tonight. They're in Montreal to take on the Canadiens. Puck drop at 7, and we've been following it. So an update, Alex Ovechkin netted his 892nd goal last night in the Capitals' loss to the Hurricanes. He needs 2 to tie Gretzky, 3 to pass. And companies interested in an employee health plan can go to mahealthconnector.org/business and filter right to premium value plans. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Sorry, I'm trying to navigate this website where you went. Holy guacamole! If you actually had to pay, guess what it is for the hyperbaric oxygen chamber? I should go.
I would say for one session, probably $1.75.
$2.20.
Wow.
Wow.
Holy.
And I feel great.
Did you get it for the donut? For
well, they just opened. It was like a soft open, so I went to go look.
Oh.
Did you pay?
I did not.
Oh, there you go.
I only got half the full hour.
Oh, so you only
imagine me on a full hour.
They only gave you half the oxygen?
Well, there are a lot of people there.
Well, you want to take up all the oxygen in the room.
That's my job. With my thing.
Wiggy sucks the oxygen out of the room.
You mother sucker. That's my thing.
A plus, Wiggs. I love it. It's
more like a rim shot. Didn't you want a rim shot? Not a ding.
Yeah, you said ding. I gave you a rim shot.
Ding is for an excessive plug for complimentary.
Oh, okay.
That's to point out that Courtney did not pay for the hyperbolic.
All right, well, then give me my rim shot.
Hyperbaric.
Hyperbaric. Yes.
We're hyperbolic when we talk about things.
Coco up 1-0 this morning.
Hyperbolic time chamber.
She's cooking.
63 degrees is the afternoon high.
Great one, Sean, to start the show this morning for Courtney.
That was a recommendation from a 781 texter, Greg.
The music heads who listen to this show are undefeated, and I, for one, appreciate it. Always a rejoin suggestion that is of a topical nature, and Shime is willing to take them.
Always. The text line and the Twitch chat, always right.
It's a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up at 9. Tomorrow on this show, Sam Kennedy at 9 for the home opener. And Monday, did a Natick Man's appearance on my radio show 31 years ago lead to his murder? The directors of a forthcoming true crime doc believe so, and they will join us on Monday. Are you okay?
Wow.
That's interesting.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh,
let me tell you, wasn't I shocked when I heard from him? I feel like Netflix fame is coming in our direction. So,
will you visually be in this?
Of course I will.
Wow.
And Wiggy, too, even though he knows nothing about it. Like the Aaron Hernandez doc.
I knew about the situation. That's what we do.
Wait, it was a man?
Yes. It involves his claim that a very popular film starring Jack Nicholson was based on an experience that he had while serving in the Marines.
As good as it gets?
No. It's for my boy, probably.
And it is a... it is an unsolved murder here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and the directors believe, sadly, that telling his story on the radio 31 years ago led to his demise. So they will stop by on Monday, and we will see if we can. Maybe there's somebody out there who can help when it comes to solving this unsolved mystery. This is Robert from North Carolina. Hello, Robert.
Hey, good morning, gang.
What's up?
Not to feed into Courtney's anxiety at all, but these hyperbaric chambers that she goes to, they're very safe when they're well-regulated, but the kind of therapy she underwent is very unregulated and unsafe to the fact that a five-year-old boy was incinerated in one of these back in January.
Holy guacamole.
And because of that, the staff was actually arrested and charged because of their neglect.
Why are you telling her that?
Wow.
Mine was very regulated and safe.
Because I love her, I love what she brings to the show. I just want her to be safe and be careful.
Yeah.
I work in hyperbaric medicine, and there's 13 indications that these chambers are used and approved for. But the clear mind, we're going to say it's just a placebo effect that she's feeling from this increased oxygen. It's going to be short-lived, and we're going to have the same old Courtney back within a day or so.
Thank you, Robert.
Be careful.
I did see yesterday, not to alarm you any further.
Oh, gosh.
But cold plunging, science has now determined that cold plunging can actually reduce your muscle mass and lead to. So if you are working on getting swole.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then you go cold plunge afterwards.
Right.
Undoing any possible gain that you may have had.
Yeah, I ain't trying to get swole.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that. Well,
and Ken just sent me a text. I'm going to read it verbatim. The Greg Hill Show does not recommend oxygen tanks. Okay, good.
No, but I am going to Sweat House after the show.
Of course you
for
are.
Keep
cold plunging.
You are. Yeah. All right. Well, Shine, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
The voice is unmistakable. Arguably, emergency top 5-3 voices all time in rock and roll, Chris Cornell. And that's Audioslave.
That is correct.
Which Jackson, while you were out, Jackson rejoined with like the lowest energy, most ballady Audioslave song of all time. You missed that on Monday, Sean.
Well, that was Gasoline because the Sox have just poured gasoline on everything. They're about to light it all on fire.
Oh, are you saying let Ralphie cook?
I'm saying let Garrett Crochet cook. Okay. That dude is a horse.
I know, right? So he goes 8 innings, and then he said afterwards he hasn't gone 8 innings since college, which is pretty of interest to me. So
yeah,
you have an ace, as Curtis said this morning. It is exciting. The leads are brought to you by the Subaru of New England Love Spring event, which is happening now. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hey, Shime.
Hey, Greg. Good morning. So Mock Draft 3.0 is officially up on WEEI.com. You can find that right up there on the website. Mitch is also going to have it for you on Twitch here. The big kind of difference in my mock draft compared to just about anybody out there that I think I've seen is that I actually have a trade for the first overall pick.
Oh.
I have the Cleveland Browns swapping with the Tennessee Titans in a way to prevent the Giants from moving up to number one. And so the number one overall pick will be the Cleveland Browns taking Cam Ward.
Okay.
The impetus for this was because Adam Schefter, who, as Curtis is right in the fact that he is a mouthpiece, but 99% of the time, like, his information is right. And the two things he's been most confident in is that the Browns would take a quarterback and Abdul Carter won't get past number two in the draft. For that to be the case, the Titans need to take Abdul Carter and the Browns need to take Cam Ward. And in my thought is that the rumors came out just recently that the Giants still interested in a quarterback, quote unquote, even after signing Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, I think is kind of a smokescreen from the Titans to make sure that the Browns maintain their trade package over the Giants so that the Giants don't then leapfrog or try and keep the Giants interested in trading up for the quarterback.
Remind me, the only quarterback that the Browns currently have on the roster is Kenny Pickett.
That is correct. So they desperately need a quarterback. Okay. The Titans technically have Will Levis. I wouldn't run it back. This, again, as Curtis pointed out earlier, this is not what I would do. This is what I think they will do.
Okay.
And the Titans, I don't believe, grade these quarterbacks high enough to want to take them over Abdul Carter. And so I have Cam Ward 1, Carter 2, Travis Hunter 3 to the Giants, and Will Campbell 4 to the New England Patriots. I know it's not necessarily what people want.
No.
Again, this is not what I would do. This is not what I want. This is just how I think it will play out. As Rich Keefe said, the Patriots will fall into a situation where they have to take, quote-unquote, the best hoss available, and that's the guy.
You and Daniel Jeremiah have the same top four.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Who do you got at 5? Just go all the way to 10 if you
need. So at 5 the Jaguars take Mason Graham. At 6 I have another trade. I actually have the Chicago Bears jumping up from 10 to take Ashton Jeanty. They have 2 second round picks this year thanks to that Bryce Young trade from a couple years ago.
Can I ask a question for grading purposes?
Yeah.
If there is no trade and the Vegas Raiders take Ashton Jeanty, you're still wrong, right?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. It's more about matching the team and the player than it is the position where the player goes. So I have the Bears jumping up to 6 to take Jeanty, the Jets taking Armand Membu, the tackle out of Missouri, the Carolina Panthers taking Tet McMillan at 8, the Saints taking Jalen Walker, the edge player slash linebacker out of Georgia, and then at 10 I have the Vegas Raiders taking Shedeur Sanders. I don't think he falls past Tom Brady and the Raiders at 10. They get a second round pick and still get a quarterback to sit for a year behind Geno Smith. I think for them that's a win.
What about all the stuff coming out of Tennessee that Tennessee is sold on Cam Ward?
Yeah, I don't think that that's the case. I don't believe that Tennessee actually loves Cam Ward. I think they are.
So you think it's all a smokescreen?
Yeah, I think they've been baiting the Giants and the Browns, who do really like Cam Ward, to trade up and give them assets to take Cam Ward, and that's exactly what will happen.
So let me ask this question, because if you believe that,
yep,
right, and you're here in a studio in Brighton,
yep,
the team that is right behind the Tennessee Titans and this Cleveland Browns,
yep,
why don't they believe it? Why would they trade up and give up assets to go up one spot when they could just wait for Cam Ward to be available at number 2?
They don't want to risk it.
Like, they don't want to risk the Giants leapfrogging them to go to 1. That's the whole point, is the Giants want Cam Ward really bad.
Okay.
Because Brian Daboll has made that relatively known. And so they unfortunately would have to leapfrog the Browns. I don't think the Browns will allow that, and that's why they make the trade.
And in this scenario, the Patriots are stuck with Will Campbell and his penguin-like arms.
Yep, 100%. Short arms and all, they will take Will Campbell. Whether he plays guard or tackle in the NFL, I couldn't tell you. But
I don't mind that the scenario that Shine paints. I wouldn't take Will Campbell. I would then trade down, and I would then take Tyler Warren, pick up an extra second round draft pick, and then take a tackle with my first overall pick in the second round, the extra second round pick. I could utilize that to maybe get an edge rusher, another wide receiver, but I would trade down to get Tyler Warren, to give Drake May a Tyler Warren to go along with Steph Diggs and potentially another free agent if they decide to bring
one. I would love to see a Jermaine Wiggins mock draft.
I just gave it to you.
That seems like
a lot of work.
Well, I would go.
It would be a lot of work after the 4 hours that he puts in.
My mock draft. It's simple. Tennessee at number 1 is taking Cam Ward. That's truly what I believe. At number 2, the Cleveland Browns, I think they need a quarterback, so I think they take Shedeur Sanders.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
Why would you not?
Okay.
You need a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have, Kenny Pickett and Deshaun Watson on your roster. Deshaun Watson looks like he's done because they're trying to trade
him. They already said Deshaun Watson is. They're basically paying him $45 million for 2 years to go away.
Right.
I wonder if Deshaun Watson and Pablo Sandoval vacation together.
So you need a quarterback.
And also, he can't play this year anyway because of the injury. So
no, so you need a quarterback, right? You got to look at it and say, we need a quarterback. We need to do something. Kenny Pickett, we all know what he is. The NFL knows what he is. Number three, the New York Giants will then say, okay, well, you know what? We already got Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau at the edge rushes. Kayvon Thibodeau, we're probably going to have to pay in a couple years. We paid Brian Burns a bunch of money. So we don't need Abdul Carter. Yeah. We'll take Travis Hunter, and if you're the Patriots at number four, then that means you'll see Abdul Carter fall right into your lap.
Okay. Well, your lips to God's ears. Is that how it goes? Yes. All right. And then if the Patriots do select Will Campbell, is he able to clap, or is there an issue with getting both of the hands together to clap for himself? I don't know how that works.
I think he can clap. I think they're just long enough.
Okay. Are you worried that his room will have the clapper?
I'm concerned about the. I mean, it's a big thing, you know.
Which is stupid.
Don't underestimate. Courtney knows this. Don't underestimate how much a quarter of an inch is.
It can make a
huge difference.
Right.
All right.
Santo just texted me, no longer coming tomorrow night.
Oh, he's of course he is. Well, that wasn't about Santo. You put that on Santo, not me. All right, when we come back, we will get to at least some of the rest of this morning's leads. Well, Curtis, no sunshine today, right? But tomorrow we're locked in for the home opener.
Yeah, well, the sun will come out tomorrow at first pitch.
Okay.
Big day at Fenway Park, going to be in the 60s. Beautiful.
Can't wait. Are we have any inside information on the festivities leading up to first pitch tomorrow at Fenway?
Sam Kennedy has only said one person will not be throwing out the first pitch.
Oh, okay.
That's me.
That's so. You, yeah.
I don't know. It's my guess would be maybe Wick. That'd be kind of a cool thing.
Okay.
They're all close, right. Obviously. Well, what about, they just won a championship.
Ooh. Well, Celtics won the championship, so it ought to be Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and the Unicorn.
I thought you were going with new owner William Chisholm.
He's actually Pags is catching.
They're welcoming the 1975 team mark the 50th anniversary of their AL championship win.
Pudge is at Fenway.
That was in my wheelhouse. Is Freddie Lynn still with us? Or?
Oh, yeah. He looks better than all of us.
I don't want to jinx anybody.
He had two knee replacements. He told me all about it once, and he feels great.
What about Bernie Carbo? Will he be available, Curtis?
Your favorite Red Sox?
The card part gets me every time.
Ooh. The national anthem will be performed by the Boston Arts Academy Treble All-Stars.
Oh, excellent.
That's why Santo's going.
And a flyover.
Was James Taylor not available?
They should have gotten, Noah.
For the 100th time? Let's see. What is... I don't know. I enjoy the back and forth, obviously, in the Twitch chat. I don't know what D sees it. D sees it as like... Fred Lynn, ? Yes. In the 1970s, Freddie Lynn, the center fielder, was my guy.
All right.
So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if you weren't alive then or whatever, but just let it flow. Let the vibe flow. Speaking of Twitch, you can watch this show on Twitch every single day, and it is presented by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations you can visit, tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portland, Maine, and Bath, Maine. And just visit springersjewelers.com. And it is indeed the home opener tomorrow. First pitch, 2:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. And, of course, on the Odyssey app all season long. Curtis, good morning. Your lead today.
So, yesterday we were discussing the big meeting of Robert Kraft. And then we talked about the Parcells into the Patriots Hall of Fame. And I feel like Robert Kraft is lost right now because he'll have you believe for 31 years he never set a budget. So if you never did anything that had anything to do with the team's success, why should you be in the Hall of Fame in the first place? And the one hiring that he made, and he has admitted to making, was an abject disaster in Gerard Mayo. And he compounded the failure of that hiring by doing nothing to help a guy that he knew was getting the job prematurely succeed. Then you knew the only thing that Mayo needed was time, and Kraft didn't give him that. Not saying he should have, just saying if you're going to judge him on that. So Ken put up a poll.
Does he get credit for the Bill Belichick hire?
Oh, of course.
Okay, all right.
Right, but I agree 1,000%, but Ken put up a poll five years. Who do you blame more for why the team has failed? And I blame Robert Kraft because you had the ability to change things. When Bill Belichick went into your office or you found out through Robin Glazer that they were making Joe Judge and Patricia the offensive coaches, you probably found that out in May or June when Mac was pissed. You could have made a change. Like, it's your team. You own it. So you can't sit idly by and say that you were powerless. And that's what I don't understand. It's like he stands there and does these aw shucks things and was like, I never set the budget. So, Robert, if you're like all of us and you watch all these great players become available, you didn't say, what are we doing? Did you ever push to spend more money and you were refuted? That would really be the question.
Yeah.
Did you ever tell Bill or did you tell, you know, Elliot Wolf or whomever that you wanted the team to spend and they said no? Because I find that impossible to believe. Do you think there would ever be a head coach that said no? No, I don't want better players.
In fact, the one time in recent memory that this team did spend a lot, Bill immediately came out and pointed out that they had been near last in spending for the last decade or whatever. So, I mean, no.
If you're Robert Kraft, right, and you're the guy that sat on the bleachers, and I don't know who says it more, like Sam Kennedy grew up a mile from Fenway Park or Robert Kraft sat on the bleachers, but if you're a fan like all of us, then why the F are you sitting and watching your team spend at the bottom of the league for a decade?
That's because you had Brady and Bill.
Yeah.
You felt like you could get away with it. And then once you no longer had Tom, you had to kind of change your whole financial philosophy. And you only did it that one year, like the Henry Judon year where they spent all that money. And then for whatever reason, that was it. But I think you're starting. I mean, I would think he's starting to realize that in order for us to be competitive, we have to spend money.
Okay, Curtis, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will get to Courtney's lead and Wiggy's lead and my lead coming up next. And then at 7:20, they said it. A full back and forth on what they said yesterday, and that includes what Christian Campbell said about suddenly owing the Commonwealth of Massachusetts a little bit of money to cover the millionaire's tax. So that is all coming up on today's show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI.